So this first pasuk in Rus, the concept was to try to finish it for Shavuos, so we're going to have to go weiter. Hadron Aloch, we'll come back to it again, Beis Hashem, but now, right now, we're going to go a bissel weiter. The pasuk says that Avimelech left, Vayelechish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. Strange pasuk. Hu ve'ishtoi u'shnei vanov. He, his wife, and his two sons. And then, doesn't tell us who he is. Vayelech ish. Somebody went. Then it says, v'shem o'ish Elimelech. So the Megillah starts without telling us who they are. Tells us a story. This is the Maise. Right? This is the story that took place. And then it says who the name was. Let me tell you a story. There was a man, he went to stay Moyov, to live there, him and his sons and his family. Okay. I'm all, you'd say a story without a name. But here there is a name. Later it goes back, it says, V'shem Ha'ish. The man's name was Elimelech, V'shem Ishtenomi. This is already a diak that many of the Achronim ask. Why is that the way the Pasuk reads? I want to read you a Medrash Rabbe here in Rus. The Medrash Rabbe says that there's actually a remez behind the fact that it says a name, it doesn't say a name. It brings down by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, you find the same thing. Amram's name is not mentioned. If you remember from Parsha Shmois, it says, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. Right? And then it says they had a child. That child was Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't say his name. But over there, it doesn't say the name Bechlal. Never says the name. Till later we learned that Moshe's father was Amram. But it doesn't say his name. So the Medrash Rabbe asks, why by Moshe Rabbeinu it doesn't say the name? And here it does say the name. Who's the Medrash Rabbe? Says the Medrash Rabbe, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Omer Aprachia. So Aprachia comes, and he says, there's a reason why it didn't say his name. Amar Rav Prachya. So Rav Prachya says like this. Ba'oisei shah kodesh baruch hu donis ha'olam. The Rebbeinu Shlom was judging the world. There was a rov, there was a hunger. And Hashem was trying to save Elimelech. Hashem was trying to save him. So Hashem didn't say his name. V'helim ishmoi. V'stiroi. Shenam avayelech ish. Omar Admida Sadin. Omar Vashem Oish Elimelech Vashem Ishtoinami. Mida Sadin came and said his name, Shem Oish Elimelech Vashem Ishtoinami. So the Medrash Rabbah is telling us that there was a whole shakl of Ataria. If Elimelech should be Chayav Misa or not, Hashem was keeping his name quiet. And then Pasuk, the Malachim came and they said, V'shem, Shem, Ho'ish Elimelech. So I want to ask you, what was the shakl of Ataria? Why was, first, there was a limud schus on Elimelech. And then, there was a limud choiv on Elimelech. What's the back and forth? So the Emma says, I had another Mahalach by Moshe Rabbeinu. How to answer why it doesn't say Amram's name, which I'm going to tell you. And that will answer this as well. But I want to add one more question on the next pasuk. The next pasuk here. And this, the Torah Tamim in the Sefer Gishmei Brocha on Megillah Shrus is aimed on this question. It says in the pasuk, Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda, Logu b'stei Moya. He went to live in Moya. Hu v'ishtei u'shneva. So the Torah Tamima asks, It should say, Vayelech ish, v'ishto yubonov, and his wife and children, logur b'stei moya. Doesn't say it. It says like this, Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda, logur b'stei moya. That would be like, I'm telling you a story, I say, I went to Eretz Yisrael, I left Muncie, and I went to live in Eretz Yisrael. Me, my wife, and my children. That's not a normal way to talk. Me, my wife, and my children are going to Eretz Yisrael. Not, actually, my wife and children and myself are going to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Not, I'm traveling from Muncie to Eretz Yisrael, period. And now, next sentence. Me, my wife, and my two children. So the Torah to me may ask, why does it say it together? Torah to me is kasha. Torah to me comes up with a great chap. I love his chap, but I'm going to tell you another pshat, which ties into what he's saying. He says, we find that when Noach went into the Teva, the Pasuk says, when Noach went into the Teva, it says, Vayelech, Noach, Uvonov, the Ishtoyalate. Noach went into the Teva, he, his sons, and his wife. So Bonov is in between. If you look at the Pasuk, there's a hefsek between him going into the Teva and his wife going into the Teva. When Noach leaves the Teva, it says, same in our Teva. When he goes in, Hashem told him to do it. Ubasal Ateva, Ato, Ubonecha, Vishtecha. So Hashem puts a break between him and his wife. When he leaves the Teva, it says, same in our Teva, Ato, Vishtecha, Ubonecha. So this is already the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafkuf Ches. The Gemara asked the contradiction. Why, when Noach went into the Teva, it says he, his children, and his wife? When he left the Teva, it says he, his wife, and his children. So the Medrash says, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Om Rabbi Yechanan, Mikan, Shebekniso Nesa Betash Meshamito, Ubiyetzia Ruta. What does that mean? The Gemara says in Meseches Tainis, that when there's a time of hunger, when there's a time of tsar in the world, you have to share noise oil with the tsar. You have to be noise oil. So you're not supposed to be with your wife then. If the whole world is suffering, you're not supposed to be with your wife. Shnas Ravin, you're not allowed to be with your wife. So the Gemara is saying in Sanhedrin that Noach was not allowed to be with his wife in the table when the whole world was drowning. So therefore it makes a hefsek, a break, between him and his wife to show that there was a separation. Him, his children, his wife. There was a hefsek. When Noach left the Teva, he's allowed to be with his wife. It says, therefore it says, Tzeimen HaTeva, Ato V'ishtecho Ushtevonach. That's the Gemara. Comes the Torah to Mima, he says a great chap. Zok the Torah to Mima. Kolzman Elimelech was living in Eretz Yisrael, and he was surrounded by a hunger. He wasn't allowed to be with his wife. Also, all of them, but then, when he left Eretz Yisrael, went to Moav, there was no Rov, he was allowed to. So the Pasuk says, Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda logu b'stei Moav. Once he left, then he was able to be hu v'ishto yishtei v'ono. Then he was allowed to be with his wife. Kolzman, he was in Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't. That's the Torah to me, is uptight. In what's going on here. So I want to tell you, we're going to add one more kasha. The next pasuk says, he died. So when it says he died, it doesn't stam say he died. It says, he died, Ashes Nam. Elimelech died, he was Ashes Nami. He was the husband of Nami. Now we know that, we already said that. But for some reason, when he dies, that's the way we describe him. If you look at the Pasuk, we describe him as Vayomos Elimelech Ishnomi. Elimelech died, the husband of Nomi. Why does it do that? We already learned through that. Said already. Said Vashem Ishtay Nomi. Said. Her name was Nomi. So I want to tell you like this. There's a lot you could be marach on this, but we have to try to come to a conclusion here. The Gemara in Yumid Avchav Beis Amid Beis. Very difficult Gemara. I'm not going to go through the whole, just the point that's going to get to us. The Gemara there in Yumid Avchav Beis Amid Beis says, Kama loy malgish v'loy choli inshi, it's a member of Rav Huna. Rabbi Yankiv Yume, it's Yom Sichte. The Mori Sayele, you remember that Gemara Yankiv? Shol ba'achas v'olsoloy. David Bishtayim Veloy also. I see you remember it. Difficult Gemara. The Gemara says that Shaul, he did one Aveda. And he got punished. He lost the kingdom. And David HaMelech did two Avedas. Dr. Gemara Veloy also. And he managed to get around. He got away with it. Push it when you learn the Gemara, it's a pelting Gemara. The Gemara says, you know, I'm old, the Abish could help you out. Look, David HaMelech, he slipped twice, and he got through the day. And Shaul HaMelech slipped once, and Fregan Allah, the Rishonim, Rabbi Nochanan on the spot, the Marsha, what's going on? Hashem is a just king. What do you mean, Hashem? Oh, he got away with it, he didn't get away with it. What does that mean? What does that mean? So, when we were learning this in Novi, I gave you a simple pshat. That was like this. I always tell you, I'll say Shiva Bach, I'll say Bentura, you have a whole different responsibility. Shiva Bach has a different responsibility. It's a shanda, right, that people in the street should think that a Yeshiva Bach, you expect less from them. Right, it's a shanda that you should be in the grocery store and you see a 45, 50-year-old lady or 60-year-old lady walking out schlepping bags and her yeshiva bach, her son, is next to her and he's walking with her. The mother's never schlepping with her arthritis. She's schlepping her bag and the kid is walking next to her. So as people go, yeah, what do you want? Is a yeshiva bach? What is a yeshiva bach? A yeshiva bach should be the one who doesn't let his mother carry a pocketbook. Unless he has a problem of Yubash, maybe he's not allowed to wear the pocketbook, he has a problem. Simlas Isha. A yeshiva bach, a guy who's learning Torah, he has a whole different responsibility. He's an ambassador of Torah. Our ethics has to be 20 times better than the people in the street. Oh, this yeshiva bach. Yeshiva bach is a guy that not his mother, if he sees an old lady walking out of the store, he's never in the store because he's always in the Beis Medrash. I mean, if it happened, it should happen that a guy's not in the Beis Medrash. And he sees an old lady who he doesn't know from nowhere walking out with bags, he helps her. That's a yeshiva bach. Because you have to live up to your achrayas, who what you represent. It's a whole different achrayas. So really, it's a shanda that people, hey, yeshiva, he drove like the guy by Mr. Way, he ripped off the pavement over there. The tires were smoking. That's a yeshiva guy. What do you want? It's life. Yeshiva Bach doesn't drive like a teenager. Yeshiva Bach. It's different. It's a higher standard. That's what it should be. The vote like this. A melech has to be laid home, like the Rambam says. A king has to be worried about the people, not al tziyochid. He doesn't think about himself. He has to think about the people. He doesn't live for himself. He lives for the people. A whole different world. A CEO of a company. A CEO of a company has to live for the company. If a CEO of the company, yeah, he works for the company like the janitor works for the company. You fire him. He's a CEO of the company. He has to live for the company. This is my company. I live for it. Right? Push it like that. Rav Gifta Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha, he gave a fiery shmooze when he came back from Mexico City. Fiery shmooze, it was mamish fire and brimstone. He came back from Mexico City. He went to fundraise for Telus. He made an appointment to meet a rich guy, very rich guy, fabulously rich guy. Couldn't get an appointment, the guy's always at work. 10 o'clock at night, finally he gets an appointment like a crazy time, in the middle of the 5 o'clock in the morning, a crazy, not normal time. Rav Gifta had no choice, he went. Where did he meet the guy? In his office. Rav Gifta looks at the guy, he goes, Rabid, what are you doing in your office? Get yourself a life. The guy's worth $100 million, $200 million. You don't have to work so hard. Come in for less hours. Come in at 10 o'clock in the morning. Get yourself a coffee, a breakfast. Be a yeshiva bacha. What does it work so hard for? Lunch, go to the babas. Spend 2 hours over there then. Shmooze a little bit. You have $150 million. You have $300, $500, $1 billion. What's your problem? You got to chop another dollar? So the guy looks at Rav Gifta. He says, Rosh Hashiva, do you know why I'm worth $200 million? Because I live and I die for my company. If I would take coffee breaks and bagel breaks and sababa breaks and sushi breaks and breaks, then the whole thing would break. I have nothing. I live and breathe the business. Rav Gifta came back to tell us. He said, Rabbeisai, you want to steig in learning? You have to live and breathe like that guy. That's what he came back. That was his message. You want to succeed? That's the way it is. A king has to live for the people. Shaul HaMelech, when he was given a dictate by Shmuel HaNovi to kill out Amalekim, and he didn't do it, he said, Yoresi Yisom, I'm afraid. That chet went against his whole tachlis. He's a king. If you can't lead, you can't be a king. David HaMelech had two averes, two things he did. But those two things weren't a steer with the kingdom. You understand? There wasn't a contradiction with being a king. Okay? If you have a guy who says, I'll give you a mushroom. You have two top doctors. Top doctors. One is the biggest psychiatrist in the world. He's a gun. They send him every mishugan in the world. And he can make sense out of it. Okay? Even though I don't always see that psychiatrist as so much sliach, but the guy's mamish, he's a world-renowned psychiatrist. He could mamish, he's unbelievable. Okay? He has one problem. He has Parkinson's. So his hands shake. He shakes the whole time. He's shaking. His feet are shaking. His hands are shaking. He could still practice. Adasai, if he could practice. Admeyavasa. He could get better. Or Yenuvim Besevo. He could get better and better. Yeah? But if you have the top neurosurgeon, brain surgeon, the best guy in the world, but he has serious Parkinson's, so his hands go like this, and he wants to cut your head open. No good. What do you mean? His friend, who's on the same level as him, they both graduated from the best, most sophisticated medical school. They're both the biggest in the world. He says, I don't understand you. My friend, he's still practicing psychology. I want to still practice it. Shkoyach. You could do shchita maybe, but you can't do brain surgery. Shchita, we could throw away the behemoth if it's a treifa. But if you cut the guy's head off, you can't do anything with him. So your flaw, what's missing by you is a steer. That's the way I typed up the Gemara Newman. Shmuel, Shaul HaMelech, what was missing by him was a steer with the kingdom. Can't be a king if you're Yoresi Yisom. That's the pshat. Elimelech, when Amram had Moshe Rabbeinu, Amram only cared about the people. He didn't have a name. He didn't have a name. Vayelech ish mi beis levi. He was only taking his wife back for Klal Yisrael. Vayikach es bas levi. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu came to be. From somebody who didn't care about himself. A name is, my name. That's me. A name is a way of you being, I have a name. Amram was totally for the Klal. Amram was completely for the Klal. That's why they were able to have Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born from such a marriage, from such a... Elimelech was destined to be the father of the kingdom. That's where his name came from. Chazal tells Elimelech, Eli Melech. He was destined to be the father Malchus based on. Not Boaz. Elimelech. That was his shlichus. Vayelech ishmi beis levi. That was Moshe. He remained without a name. Elimelech, he went. But Lamai said, why did Elimelech leave Eretz Yisrael? For himself. V'shem o'ish Elimelech. V'shem ish te'nomi. He went out for an individual. Says the Medrash, that's why Midas Hadin hit him. Because he wasn't living up to his mission. His mission was to be Eli Melech, to be the messenger of the Tzibur. But instead, he was V'shem O'ish Elimelech. He had his own name. He's worried about his own basket. And then daily, he went from being a leader of Klal Yisrael to being nothing more Vayomos Elimelech Eishes Nam. Elimelech died at the end because all he was a husband and his wife, which is a very good thing to be. But not for a king. Elimelech. Vayomos Elimelech. Because you know why? Because all he was Eishes Nam. He forgot about his mission. He forgot about his job. He forgot what he was there for. Now we could be mitzarif what the Torah Tamimah says. Kol zman he was in Eretz Yisrael, he was being noisy ba'oil with the tzibur, that's why he was also to be with his wife. But now he left. He became an individual. He became an individual. Ishtoi, ubonav. He became an individual by Yomos Elimelech. That's not Kawaii. And that's something a person always has to remember. They have to live up to their mission. And also Ben Torah, also Yeshiva Bacher, also eventually Mitz Hashem, a Ben Torah that stays with you for the rest of your life, wherever you go. That's, you have to live up to your mission. You have to live up. Your language is not like the language people around you. Yes, today it's becoming acceptable that you could be a presidential candidate and you could have not the best language. It's true. But that's not your job. You're not running for the president of the United States. You're not running for anything. You are a Ben Torah. The Ben Torah has to live up to his mission. His mission is to be 24-hour-a-day ambassador of Torah, ambassador for the Ben Shalom. And that's what we have to learn from this, from the first two, three psukim of Megillah.